pick a window. This is the Defenestrate Media Network.
You are about to listen to I Told You So, the world's greatest relationship podcast, hosted by Tiffany and Jeff, two people in the healthiest relationship of all time.
Join our power couple as we explore the ups and downs of love, offering you the tools you need to navigate the relationship scene with charm, humor, and grace.
Welcome to I Told You So, where love is our business.
And laughter is our secret weapon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're in a good mood.
I am.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Considering the last few days, there are reasons to be joyful and there are reasons to be not joyful.
What are the reasons to be joyful?
We're alive.
Okay.
I woke up breathing. Always a good start
Very
to a
low
day.
Bar.
Oh, yeah. No, if you put your bar low enough, every day is
a
great
day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my philosophy at any rate. No, we went out to dinner with my mother and my sister and my brother-in-law last
night.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It was fun.
I had a good time. I love a good salad bar. I'm
you
not gonna
really,
lie.
Really do.
That's my
and
favorite.
That was a pretty good salad bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing it needed was baby corn.
Oh, yeah. A hearts of palm.
Sure.
I love hearts of palm on my salads.
Do you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They're expensive. That's why I don't eat them.
Oh.
It's like $6 a can.
Damn. They had hominy. Did you see that?
I did see that.
I was like, okay.
I like hominy. I just prefer it as a breakfast food.
Oh.
Yeah.
I ate it in Alabama a lot.
I bet.
It's not my favorite.
Yeah. The hell were you doing in Alabama?
My mom was there for a little bit, stationed there at the Air Force Base there in Alabama.
I'm sorry, what?
So I spent my summers in Alabama with my mom.
Your mom was in the military?
No, the person she was married to was.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute, there's a whole other chapter I have no idea about.
I know. I have a lot of layers, babe.
You do have a lot of layers.
Yeah.
Being married to a military person was not one of them.
No.
No.
I was going to ask how you're feeling. Are you feeling better after your kidney stone?
Yeah. There's still something going on.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, so I'm still taking my antibiotics. But for the most part, yeah, there's something still up. And there's something that still hurts,
yeah.
But it does not hurt near as badly as it did last week.
Good.
Yeah.
Maybe you need a urologist.
Probably. I mean, I'm old enough.
Yeah.
It should be part of my stable of medical care, you know, but I got a hard enough time. I love my primary care physician. I think he's the best, you know. I have bragged on him for ages, and the fact that he's not taking new patients right now really hurts me because I'd like for you to go see him, too, because he's so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, he does have diabetes blindness, which my last three doctors have had.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what else my problem is. They're like, well, that sounds awful, but let's talk about your diabetes.
Yeah.
And it's like, how about we work on my pain management issues so that I can feel good enough to actually go out there and get in the better shape I would like to be in.
Yeah.
As opposed to waking up and feeling like, boy, I wish I didn't have to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it hurts so fucking bad. I mean, between migraines, neck, back, knees, hands, everything.
And now kidneys.
And yeah, which is fun. This is only my second stone in like a year and a half.
It's not fun.
No, but you have two or three a month, so I don't consider myself put out at all.
You know, I think I passed a stone yesterday.
I mean, that's how it is. That's it. I'm over here going, I'm gonna die, and you're like, yeah, I just spat two out.
No, sometimes it's really painful. You never know.
Yeah,
who knows how they're shaped? It affects everything.
They're shaped like they're personally upset with me.
I know, they're awful.
They really are. I don't much care for it, but I mean, with that, and since we've already been so open with folks that listen, you know, You went 10 days without a seizure.
11.
And then the last couple of days have been pretty intense, which is, I know, is just fucking you up.
I know. How do you know that?
Because you want to drive.
I want to do a lot of things that I can't do right now.
Yeah.
And it's driving me crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm taking my medicine. I'm doing everything I should. And so I expect to be seizure free, and that's not happening right now.
What we need to do is get you on a different seizure med, most likely. you know, but to do that, your neurologist office would have to fucking call us back.
Yeah, they have not.
No.
They're terrible at that. I call almost every day.
Yeah.
And leave a message with them.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird that you can only leave a message, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw people working there, and I saw them answering phones. So I don't understand exactly what's going on.
That's for appointments.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, day by day.
We always do.
Step by step.
I'm excited for our topic today.
Are you really?
Yeah, I really am.
Okay.
I think it will be fun.
So you want to jump to that?
Unless you wanted to go a different route.
Just real quick, I just wanted to bring up the fundraiser that we're doing to try and get into office space. Still active, still going. You can go to theleftshow.com. Click on the link there. That'll take you through. If you want to, you can be courted by the video that I made. Not my best work.
It's a great video.
It is good.
Yeah, I love
it. It's just not my best work. My best work, I've wasted on other people.
Yeah.
Which sucks. I really ought to quit doing that. Start saving the best for myself. With that said, for those of you that have donated already, I've started buying the software that I need to do the video stuff. We're down to, I need to migrate the site over to the AWS system, and I don't know how. And I'm trying to find either an online tutorial that doesn't cost money, or have somebody maybe help me out a little bit, which I would be fine with it costing some money, you know?
Yeah.
It's a pay for labor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's beyond me. I don't know. I don't know why I can't figure out how the fuck to start. I just keep Googling and coming up with bad search returns on people that want to charge me hundreds of dollars to do what I know I can do if I just figure out that first step.
Yeah, I'm sure there's someone out there who knows.
Yeah, I hope so. But you guys can do that. Anyway, pop over to theleftshow.com. You can give there. You can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Every week we record the other shows. We put it into Patreon. We're going to start doing Patreons on this show soon.
Ooh, I'm excited.
I don't know what they're going to be yet.
I know. They're going to be very, very dirty, I think.
I do too, and esoteric.
Yeah.
I think they'll be odd.
talk about some weird shit.
Yes. Behind the paywall.
Yes.
I am a different person.
That is true.
Yeah. All right. So we found an article. You found an article.
I did.
That is making me wildly uncomfortable.
I know. That's why I'm so excited to talk about it.
Dirty Talk 101, expert tips and how to make it less weird, or why we love being told we've been bad. You're a naughty girl. I notice you're not arguing that. If you are looking for ways to turn up the heat in the bedroom, Dirty Talk is a foolproof method. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. I am a fool, and I have made a mess of Dirty Talk before.
With me, you haven't.
That's because I don't do it. I learned my lesson the first time I tried. Yeah, touch me. grab my thing. Yeah, like that. Do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That feels very nice. Thank you.
There's a lot of thanking going on.
I very much appreciate your attention to my... where'd I get to? When done right, it can get you more turned on and lead to more intimacy with a partner. But let's be honest, it's not about doing it right. It's about being comfortable with however it happens. While Dirty Talk can come naturally to some people, for a lot of us, it can be super nerve-wracking. That's me. I cannot Dirty Talk. I can't.
You might be uncomfortable, but you're very good at it.
Go on.
You are. I don't know. I can't explain it, but like whatever you say to me seems like the perfect thing to say in that moment.
That's just me saying stuff. That doesn't mean it's dirty. It just means we're doing something dirty when I'm saying stuff. I'm over here doing algebraic, compound problems.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes, because it's in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the moment, if I were to try Dirty Talk on you when we're not being intimate.
Well, sure.
It would sound fucking ridiculous.
It would. Yeah. It would sound a little weird.
It is. I kind of want to tell the story.
I thought that we would. Maybe not say exactly, but yeah, we can tell the story.
Yeah. It's explicit and naughty and sexually charged, which, no matter how progressive we've become, are things the remnant of our puritanical society have told us to suppress. That's me. Forced vanilla.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you've kind of become a twist now.
I don't know what that means.
You're not full vanilla. You're a twist.
How does that mean? What is that? Do I need to go to Urban Dictionary and find out what that means?
No, I just came up with it.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm going to find out if it's there. Urban Dictionary. T-W-I-S-T. Twist, a derogatory term used for someone who gets their kicks playing mind games or toys with people's hearts. I would not like to be a twist, thank you. Nope.
Okay, I just meant you're not as vanilla as you once started.
I am broadening my horizons.
Yes, you're a little more spicy.
But I am not a twist. What is dirty talk exactly? Dirty talk is any form of sexually charged or explicit speech that is intended to arouse and seduce someone. Within research, it is also known as erotic talk, or the very naughty, especially here in Utah, sex talk.
Yes.
The sex talk was something different than what this is in.
Yeah.
Anyway, and it covers all communication that happened exclusively during sex and about sex. Okay, so yeah, technically I'm dirty talking.
Yeah.
Okay. Research on dirty talk usually divides into two categories, mutualistic and individualistic. Mutualistic sex talk is about sharing the sexual experience with your partner. Like, hey, I'm doing this. Does this feel nice when I do this? That's what that is. For example, giving sexual feedback to your partner, sexual compliments, or moaning.
Very
in
important.
It is important because static feedback helps in the moment.
Right.
And in the moment is when it needs to be, you know.
Yeah.
It's like up, down, left, right, higher, harder, softer, whatever. Those are very important things.
Right.
And if you do it with the right tone of voice, I believe that's sex talk.
I think so.
Lower. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. See? It's like, this is great. Make it greater. As opposed to, hey, dummy. That's not the right part.
Communication is key. Wrong body part.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, I'm constantly lost down there. I'm awkward.
You are not.
And I know, I was fishing for that one. I'm absolutely fishing for that one. This type of shared experience, sex talk, has been shown to increase sexual and relationship satisfaction. Additionally, women who engage in this mutualistic sex talk report higher sexual functioning. Functioning. That's a clinical word.
I agree with that.
Yeah. In contrast, individualistic sex talk is, quote, me-focused, adds the scientist who wrote the article. Examples include sharing your sexual fantasy, expressing dominant submission, or sexual ownership. Yeah, I can't do this.
I can't do
any of this. And research shows that this individualistic sex talk increases sexual satisfaction, but not relationship satisfaction.
Mm.
Maybe that's why.
That makes sense.
The relationship's more important than whether or not I get to talk like a sailor.
You'll get there.
I won't. And you know I won't.
I don't know. There's a lot of things that I didn't think would happen that we have embarked on.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, who knows?
I am wildly out of my comfort zone all of a sudden. Don't worry about it. For the good of the show, I will soldier on. What makes it so sexy? Mutualistic dirty talk is sexy because it's a positive bid to connect with your partner. And research supports that when these bids are accepted, they not only improve overall relationship satisfaction, but ultimately build trust between partners. In a relationship, trust is incredibly sexy.
That is true. That's very true.
Yeah, this is from Dr. Jordan Rulo, a PhD, clinical health psychologist, and certified sex therapist. And it says here, a flow health expert, and I don't know what that is. So, a flow ovulation calendar. Oh! Oh! It's a lady app.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Another factor is what it does to our brains. Dirty talk and eroticism stimulate the areas of the hypothalamus responsible for sex drive and testosterone production, which in turn makes us horny.
Sexting throughout the day? I like that.
Do you?
Yeah.
I have proven to not be good at that. You're quite good at it. I'm not so good.
Do you like it when
I love it. I think it's great. I do. And then I'm like, I get all up in my head and start to blush and can't write back.
I know that's my point.
I can't match your energy is what I'm saying.
That was my whole goal.
I mean, the fact that I wasn't raised by Quakers is a little startling from time to time when it comes to stuff like this. Then there's the appeal of the taboo. We would never say these things to one another in any other context. This is especially true. That's the thing is, I think I dirty talk with you more out of situ than I do in.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, at least I'm more handsy.
Yes.
Well, no. I mean, technically no, but still.
You can be.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I like it.
I like to let you know that I think that you are hot. We would never say these things to one another in any other context. This is especially true if we're verbally playing out our sexual fantasies. We're turned on by the idea that we're doing something bad or naughty, and that's totally healthy. Doing bad and naughty stuff is totally healthy.
Yeah.
I would just like to point that out.
I know. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
This is a scientist.
I'm trying to tell you this.
Why do Republicans fight so hard against people that are only trying to make our lives better? Way to go. What was your name again? Jordan Rulo. Appreciate you. Dirty talk comes in various forms. These include sexting, role play fantasy scenarios, verbal expressions, less verbal expressions. What's another nonverbal expression?
I don't want to give away all my voices.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I'll just sit over here making funny noises. Because that'll turn everybody on. I'm looking at you, Dumas. Alice Lovegood, a sex educator and ethical adult content creator with over 306,000 followers on Instagram and 99,000 on TikTok. I don't know. I'm going to set aside all the sexy stuff for a second. Is this how we figure out whether or not you know what you're talking about? Is by
how many followers?
Instagram followers you have? I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't work on audience building on my social medias. I know that I should, but it takes time.
It does.
And I'm too busy making content.
Yes, you are.
Content. All right. These are the following. Dominance. Having power over someone. For example, I'm going to do what I want with you, and you're going to lay there and take it. Understood? Yeah, I couldn't say that with a straight face.
No.
No. Submission. Giving a power over to someone. For example, take me.
Tie me up.
Maybe that's down here somewhere, too. I don't know. Three, instructive statements. These are the ones I like. Giving verbal instructions, such as open your legs or I want you to touch yourself. Oh, I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Number four, question statements. These can also serve as sexy check-ins, such as, do you like that? Does that feel good? How bad do you want it? That was a good laugh. I like that laugh. Positive reinforcement, such as, you feel so good inside me, or... good girl.
I'm laughing so hard.
Do you wanna?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So this came up a little, like, I don't even know when.
About three, four months ago.
Yeah, or longer than that. But...
or longer, 7 months ago, eight.
So I thought
this might have been more than a year ago.
Yeah. Oh. I thought, okay, maybe there's this new thing that I want to try. So I brought it up to you.
Mm-hmm.
I knowing that you would be very uncomfortable with it.
And
it was not going to be easy for you.
It was not.
But we tried it out. You did great. I learned quickly that it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
And we moved on.
Do we want to tell them what it is so they don't think we're talking about butt sex?
That's fine. You can tell them.
You asked me to try out, to test flight the phrase, good girl.
Yeah.
I did it once. You knew immediately you did not like it. And yet you let me do it four more times before you told me to stop.
I wanted to make sure. I wanted to give it a good run.
So instead, I'm all, yeah, this is working. Yeah. And you're over here going, oh, God, I hate this so much. I'll try it one more time. No.
I saw it in porn, and it was, like, really good. It was a good porn. I liked it.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe we could give it a try, and it was no go.
No. Porn is not reality.
I know.
You can't do porn stuff in real life. I'm not that bendy. Intimacy and emotional bonding. Statements such as, I love you, and you're so amazing. That's me. I'm number six.
Yeah, that does it for me, too.
Well, that's good. Ownership. Statements that specify ownership over someone or some part of their body. For example, this is mine, or I'm all yours, baby. I'm going to say that next time. How's that? Does that work for
baby,
you?
Baby, are you going to throw baby in
you
at the end?
You bet your ass I am. Baby. Speaking fantasies, bringing to life the person's desires and fantasies through talk. This can be entirely imagined, but you know it's a turn on for them. For instance, maybe I should let all my friends in here to watch you. No! No!
That floats some people's boat. Not mine, but...
No, not mine. Absolutely not. Well, I don't know. Which friends?
I know, I was going to say, there's not any of your friends that I want in our bedroom. Sorry, guys.
Take that, you bastards. Woo-hoo. Yeah, me too.
Okay, good.
There's none of your friends. Reflexive calls. These are words, moans, and sayings that are almost involuntary. For example, fuck, or yes, or oh my God.
Oh my God.
Or just a good old-fashioned positive. That's a good one. I'll do that one.
Yeah, I do that one too. When you find the right spot.
Jesus Christ, this is not an easy one. When it comes to introducing any new sexual experience or accessory with a partner, Rulo recommends that individuals introduce the topic during non-sexual encounters. A great time to do this can be post-sex, when you're relaxed and enjoying a little pillow talk. Like, hey, that was really good. Next time, could you blah?
Yeah, I don't like that. No.
No? You don't like the after-action report? You don't like a good debriefing?
I don't want it, you know.
Oh. I don't mind it. You can tell me what to do. If I did something that you think I could do better, I'd like to be told. Granted, I'd like to be told in the moment.
Right.
But just in case you were too busy and you forgot, I could take it after.
Have I done it after?
Yeah.
Have I?
Yeah. You let me know. You let me know when something could be more the way you like it.
A little post-mortem discussion afterwards.
Yeah. You've done that before.
Okay.
It's okay. I don't mind it. I like it. Coming up with a plan to incorporate dirty talk into future sexual experiences is beneficial because it's likely that comfort levels around it may differ.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, Rulo recommends that individuals first explore their and their partner's core needs on the topic ahead of time to ensure everyone is on the same page. Hello.
That's important.
Well, how was work? We're role-playing now.
It was so great.
Great. That must mean you're sexually charged.
I am.
When we sex, we should dirty talk.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Urgh.
You hungry S-word?
Can't S-word.
Do it.
S-word.
Cannot do it. Can't. Can't. Because there's no such thing. I mean, let me just mansplain for a second, if that's all right.
Sure.
Yeah. Slut? What a dumb word.
Yeah.
What a dumb word. What a thing. What a weird, dumb flex for dudes to be like, she's a slut. Like, no. No, she's just a person who's in touch with what makes her happy.
Yeah.
So quit being an asshole.
Yeah, that word's never done it for me.
No, and I think one of the reasons most men use that as an epithet is because while she may be free and not held by societal standards, you know, of decorum and virginity,
mm-hmm.
She's not banging him, and that's why he's pissed.
Yeah, exactly why.
And that's all. And so it's just dumb. Don't get mad. Take a shower. Trust me, smelling good is a great first step.
Yes.
Maybe your partner's worried about others overhearing the dirty talk. You're not. We've had the window open.
We've had a text from kids before.
Yeah.
Really?
Shut it. Could you please be quiet?
Whoops.
Are you okay? That sounded painful. Tell Jeff to get off your hair so I don't have to hear you tell him that you're on his hair. Overhearing the dirty talk, so their core need might be privacy, or they don't want to bring others into the bedroom, so their core need might be dirty talk that doesn't include the mention of others. From here, people can figure out a non-sexual time to explore what type of dirty talk they prefer, how it makes them feel. You could even role play dirty talk in order to get a feeling of what it's like. This practice will make experimenting with dirty talk easier during sex. I would like to think that practicing the dirty talk might lead you to the practicing of the sex. You know? With you sitting there on your sweet, sweet ass. How's that? Was that good dirty talk? I tried.
Such good dirty talk.
I tried. I'm giving it a shot.
I want to take my pants off right now.
Outstanding. Yeah, that dried everything up. Yeah, there's nothing like a fake British accent to really moisten a panty around here, I'll tell you what. Oh, hello. Aren't you a scrumptious dish? Let us naked, shall we? Yes, quite. Mm-hmm.
Do that tonight, would you?
I will. Not.
You won't.
I won't. I might. Now, I might, just for the comic value of it, because you know me, I'll fuck up any situation for a laugh.
I think that's me. I don't think that's you.
No, it is. We were at my grandmother's funeral, and turnout was huge. She was a very small woman, she was very, very, this is on my dad's side.
Oh, okay.
And we're at the funeral, and it is full, the whole chapel's full, that little weird in-between section's full.
Yeah.
And we've opened up the curtains to the gym, and the gym is full. You know, Myrtle was a very popular lady. All of my aunts and uncles and my dad are up on, at the, I want to say podium. I haven't been to church in a long time.
Pulpit.
And
it's been a while.
It's been a minute. It's no wonder my mom cries herself to sleep. So, anyway, so they're all up there, and they're very serious, and I've been given the warnings on fucking around. Because, you know, I'm 15, 16 years old, give or take. And I'm sitting with a couple of my cousins and Trent. And Dad's up saying a prayer. And he gets to the end, Jesus Christ, amen. And you hear the whole crowd go, amen. And then you hear like 400 noses all go at the same time. At the same time. It was the most insane noise. I barked. Slam my hands over my mouth, look up to the stage, pulpit.
Yeah.
It's like a stage.
Sure.
And I'm getting dirty looks from my uncle and one of my aunts, confused look from a couple more of them. And then my dad's looking at me and he's kind of pissed. And then you see it slowly dawn on him why I laughed. And he's like,
I love your dad.
I do too. He's always been a pretty stand-up guy. Everybody else, sort of family-wise, has been pretty fucking uptight.
Yeah.
You know, they're very uptight religiously. My dad's chill. He's very religious. It's weird. I don't know why I'm bringing my parents up at this particular time.
In this topic?
But I will do it for a laugh. I will ruin any situation to get a giggle. How to get more confident. So now you know the basics. Do we know the basics? What? Did I miss that section? I'm scrolling up. No. Okay. Now you know the basics. You may be wondering how any of this helps when you're too self-conscious to even try it. So what do?
You try it anyway.
Yep.
And then you laugh about it.
Yeah. And then it gets easier.
Yeah. Does it?
I'm told. According to the article, it does. Well, firstly, it's important to note that everyone starts from somewhere, and it's completely natural to feel a little shy when it comes to expressing your desires and fantasies. I want to reassure people that you don't need to be a master and that that silly feeling in sex or laughing is sometimes all part of the fun, says new doctor named Lovegood, who hasn't been mentioned yet. When learning to walk, we fall over again and again and again, and eventually walking's easy. You're not clumsy like me. That's not easy. Bounce, sex bounce, is a bounce. Skill. And when we start any skill, we get things wrong, and that's okay. As a result, Lovegood recommends that people embrace their fears and try not to be afraid to get things wrong. Quote, after all, sex is so much better when you let go of perfectionism and, quote, no shit. Normally, I would pound on the table, yeah, but you don't would. Care for that. Because that's how I, huzzah! Yeah. That whole thing with Thor in the first movie where he breaks the coffee cup. Bring me more! Like that.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Hmm. When I'm happy, I like to bang things and make noises.
You like to bang.
I'm a giant animal. That's all I am. I'm just a big, dumb dog that likes to make noises.
You're a goof.
Barf.
Barf. No.
Not dirty talk? That's not working for you?
No.
Okay, it's good. See, to have this exchange where you tell me that what I'm doing...
It's not working for me.
Yeah. I think the word we're looking for is drought. for some general tips, Lovegood recommends the following. Use phrases that turn you on primarily. Instead of being too focused on what you think your partner wants to hear, practice using saying things that turn you on. Your physical response to this will be attractive in itself. That's true. For example, my favorite things to say are, quote, use me. Don't ever do that, please. Okay?
Now I want to.
No, don't ever do it. I will whip out my little English dandy so fast. That, by the way, is not my nickname for my penis. That would be a terrible nickname for a penis.
I was going
to
say.
You ready to see the little English dandy? Hello. Hello. use me. No. I was made for this. Okay. Or similar.
Made for this?
Yeah, baby, you were built for sin. I was made for this or similar, and because it turns me on, the way I say it, my body's response turns my partner on. I'll go with that.
Yeah,
if you're up, I'm up.
Okay.
Don't stress about saying different things every time. Quote, in fact, I use the very same sayings over and over and over until they hit the spot. What you can do instead is use different tones and different levels of arousal. Oh, God damn it.
What?
I like it when you touch me there. I like it when you touch me there. I like it when you touch me there. I'm just trying different inflections like the lady in the article said. It's like a goddamn improv game.
Try it till it lands.
Watch, read, or listen to inspire you and note what turns you on. We will in the future talk about pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And we will talk about how people get pretty upset about it.
Yeah.
And there's reasons to be upset about it. And then there's reasons not to be upset about it.
Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, you know, not everything in porn is real. That's true. But there are some pretty fucking good ideas in there to give a shot at. That's all I'm saying.
I enjoy porn.
I do too. We'll just let that
sit. Works for us.
That just works for us.
Yeah.
This could be erotica or even movies. Write it down and use it. I'm not writing it down. I might write it down.
Would you?
No. Maybe.
What would you write down?
Left leg over right shoulder. Right leg touching back of head. Scream ouch and call an ambulance. Practice makes perfect. Say it in the mirror. Say it out loud. Write fantasies down. Record yourself if you like.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine recording myself. Nobody wants to. You don't want to see yourself doing that.
No, but I got a great idea for a TikTok. The more you say it, the easier it will be and the more natural it will feel. Soon you'll slowly build an erotic vocabulary that you can pull from, no pun intended, in any scenario. No pun intended.
Good girl. Good pull. Girl. Good girl. Good girl. Good girl. Good girl. Good girl.
Stop it. Now you're making me uncomfortable. I was a party to that.
You were great.
You made me.
I know, and you were a great sport.
Don't be afraid to pause. Feeling silly and rushing, there's power in slowness. Take your time. Allow your brain to catch up to avoid stumbling. I don't want my brain involved in sex at all. You know?
No.
Once consent is given and just the nudity has happened, just give it up and go where it takes you.
Enjoy the ride.
Do your best.
Yeah.
You know? Make sure your partners get off before you do. And if you both have that goal, it's really fun. It's a great competition. You know what I mean? Who can come fastest? Don't forget to debrief. The more comfortable you are with a partner, the less afraid you'll be when things go wrong. Talk about things afterwards, what they enjoyed, and get some feedback and encouragement. You know what? Babe, I do like a little attaboy if I've done a good job.
Mm.
I do. I know I was there. I could see the direct outcome of my efforts, if you will.
Your little, yeah, never mind.
But a little pat on the head never went sideways, right?
No.
You know? Good job with the sex there, pal. Good game. Slap me on the ass. You know how it is.
Splash, splash.
You've done good game before.
Yeah.
And slap me on the ass.
Yes.
Yes.
I was very impressed with you.
If all else... Now I'm embarrassed. I'm blushing. If all else fails... Moan. Oh, that was bad. I was trying to do a hot moan. Instead, I stubbed my toe. Moan.
A little weak.
Moan. How's that? Is that better?
Yeah. You're a good moaner.
Oh. Groans. Yeses. Moaning. Fuck. It all counts. Vocal enjoyment counts as stimulation. Your pleasure is important. And if the pressure of dirty talking is ruining the moment, don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you were trying something as an experiment and it didn't work the first time, telling your partner to shut the fuck up.
I wanted to commit to it and make sure.
Because we had not finished but 3 seconds before you let me know to never do that again. Hey, by the way, don't ever do that thing I told you to do again.
It was our debriefing. You liked that.
Like the Sahara in here.
I was just going to say.
Okay, here comes the disclaimer. Consent and communication are essential. Check in, you know, get your permissions first. Make sure that that's it. Hey, want to fool around? And then you say,
yes, I do.
Okay, great. And then I say something dirty.
Like what?
I don't know. I was like, moan. but yeah, look, if you're in the middle of it and somebody says something that makes you uncomfortable, say something right then.
Yes.
You know, if you're in the middle of it and somebody says something stupid, go ahead and laugh. It's funny. Laughing's fun. It elevates the thing. What is it? Dopamine?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's great. It'll actually enhance the sexual experience to be happy.
Yeah.
Weird, huh? Yeah.
We've laughed during sex before.
Yep. Lastly, she warns against the use of disrespectful language or pressure. Yeah, that's, yeah. Yeah. Enjoy. Okay. So, again, TMI, but you pushed play. I did. I like sort of the narration or the just in the future narration of what's happening or what's just about to happen more than I like, here's what I'm going to do to you, as opposed to here's what I'm doing to you or something like that. You know what I mean? Like being in the moment of it is fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, telling me you're going to do something weird or disrespectful, you know, or pressure me into doing something I don't want to do and trying to do that as sexy talk. That's not going to work.
No.
So that's a good time for other partner to pop up and go, whoa, back off.
Yeah.
I don't allow that kind of touch, that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so consent's important. So the do's and don'ts as we wrap up this. Do we want to do do's and don'ts or do we want to do advanced techniques?
Ooh, what is advanced techniques?
I recommend, says Holland, another doctor they didn't... Oh, here we go. Mangala Holland. That's a really unfortunate name.
It's a mouthful.
Hello, my name is Dr. Mangala. Holland? Not the other doctor? No? Mangle Holland, female pleasure expert and author of Orgasms Made Easy, the no-nonsense guide to self-pleasure, sexual confidence, and female orgasms, lists the following. There's a joke in there about the fiction section that I'm just going to ignore.
Okay.
Yes. Do. Start with something light and playful and notice how your partner responds. Not everyone's comfortable jumping straight in. I'm not. It's been years. Still not. I'm old and I'm still not. I'm working on it. And it feels out of character, forceful or aggressive, then it probably won't be received well. Do agree to communicate if either of you share something that doesn't feel good. This could include safe words too. Or, oh my God, use more lube. Do start small. A good rule of thumb is to share something genuine and take it from there. Like, that feels amazing. I love feeling your... don't be afraid to debrief with each other later. That's important. We've talked about that. Don't forget to check in as to whether they've explored dirty talk before. I never thought about that. Hey, want a dirty talk? As opposed to message. Oh, my God.
See, I like the shock value.
Yeah, I need a room.
Especially while you're at work.
And some privacy. Don't keep going if it isn't working. Be mindful to treat every experience as individual and unique. Remember, just because something worked one time, it doesn't mean it's going to work this time.
That's true.
Doesn't mean it's not going to work.
That's what lube is for.
I recommend utilizing all five senses. What you can see, hear, feel, smell, and taste. This works because it helps show your partner that you're fully present to the experience. And presence is hot.
It is.
Dirty talk works best when it's organic and spontaneous, not scripted and rehearsed. That's it. I can just see me with a stack of 3x5 cards.
Note cards.
Yep.
Index cards.
Little index cards, you know. I love when... Oh, geez. don't read those out loud. Those are privet. Anyway, so describe what you're genuinely enjoying rather than what you think your partner wants to hear. In addition, the use of props.
Props?
Props. AdamandEve.com. Props could also be used to appeal to the various senses. Props can add spice and a variety to a scenario. Think of different sex toys that can be used on the other person or ask to be used on you.
Mm.
For example, I want you to take the magic wand and put it on me while I'm blindfolded and tied up and can't do anything about it if it gets too intense. That's very specific, Dr. Holland. For example, apropos of nothing whatsoever, you know, hey, put a thumb up my butt. I'm just saying, you know.
I haven't played with toys much until recently, and I'm enjoying it. There's some cool stuff out there. Was that too much?
I don't know why, considering everything we've said up until this point, but for some reason, that one did me in. To take things to the next level, individuals could also experiment with power dynamic play. For those trying it out for the first time, you can experiment with the dynamic that suits them. However, for more advanced people, there could be a role reversal of dominant and submissive dynamics, or even a power dynamic shift during a plot twist in the middle. Like, yes, I'm your dirty little boy, and then we flip it. And then I go, yes, I am your dirty little man. I don't know, something?
Okay.
I'm bad at this.
We'll talk it out before we try it.
Can we? Can we map it?
Yeah.
Can you write it on a card
Index
for me?
Index cards.
Yeah. It's like I could put them on the headboard.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Just pick one to say. It'll be like an improv game. If you're doing a role play, incorporated props can be used here too. For example, if the scenario involves ice play, ask your partner to have a cup of ice ready for directions. When you get to that part of the scene where the ice will be used in the scenario, you can ask them to put the ice on them. On them.
On them?
In them. Around them.
Yeah.
Beside them. Atop them. Below them.
We've never done ice.
Okay. Is that...
No, I'm just saying we never have.
No?
We've never tried ice. Or wax.
Hmm.
Some people are into that.
I don't know.
They just pour wax on themselves.
Well, we'll figure it out. And when we do, we'll talk about it here on the show.
Behind the paywall.
Yeah, maybe that's a good idea. While dirty talk can seem scary at first, like all skills, it just takes a little practice and open communication. Additionally, having a safe and open space to mess up and experiment is vital to ensure all parties end up happy with the results. So have some fun and remember to keep things light and fun. And most importantly, consent is sexy.
Yes.
All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back on the other side. We're going to answer some letters nobody asked us to.
Can't wait.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Okay, let's debrief that last segment.
Okay.
I feel wildly uncomfortable.
Do you feel like we overshared?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But it's me.
Yeah.
And I've been oversharing to podcasts for years. I overshared when I did radio. You know, I overshare.
But not about sex.
Never, ever, ever. This is a first for me, and I don't know how to feel about it.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Twist.
I'm not a twist.
You're spicy vanilla.
I'll take spicy vanilla.
Okay.
I'm vanilla bean.
You're a little extra bean. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. okay, we've got some relationship advice letters. The first one: my partner is emotionally unavailable. Will this ever change?
No.
I don't even need to read this. No. No. I have been the emotionally unavailable partner most of my life. I don't do it on purpose. I don't know why I do it. I don't know why I clam up. I don't know why I go away. I don't know why I shelter, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it my whole life. With you, I work really hard at not doing that.
You do.
You know, and of all, I mean, when I think about my previous marriage, you know, and I know that a lot of people like to bitch about their ex.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done it. Feels good sometimes, you know. But the truth is that when she accused me of being emotionally unavailable, she was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was problematic. You know, now there's circumstances and reasons and excuses and all of this and that and the other. But what it really came down to is I was afraid of the situation. So I'm going to wall myself off from it to make sure that no matter how good or bad things get, nothing's going to take me by surprise. I'll just be stoic.
Right.
And that's how I spent the first 45 years of my life, give or take, you know. And then I don't know why with you, it just felt like something I needed. I'm like, you have got to fucking work on this. You, hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. Is that right? Did I do that right?
You did.
Should I have sung it?
Yeah, if you want to.
I don't think we can afford the...
We can't afford to.
Yeah, we can't afford that. Anyway, I've been married to my partner going on 2 years together for 8 years. Throughout this time, I've gone through some trauma, losing my father, in addition to already struggling with depression and anxiety. Last year, my therapist recommended I get assessed for autism spectrum disorder due to my more consistent symptoms. And for the time being, I am self-diagnosed. I informed Tom of this, but have received little response. Tom comes from a family that doesn't talk about their emotions more than at surface level, and this has been a struggle to have emotional conversations with him. He'll either joke his way out of the topic or find a way to deflect. Well, he sounds like a lovely fellow. What's the problem? He sounds fucking hilarious. I have recently pointed this out to him, and he said he would look into addressing it. He did put in efforts to be more open and communicative, but after about a month, he stopped. Now, I'm going to put a pin in this. Did you tell him? Did you tell him that he was, that you noticed that what was happening, that you recognized the attempt that there was, or did you just sit and watch and wait for it to get to where you wanted it? Yeah. Did you help as part of a partner with the problem that you're trying to solve? Or did you sit back and wait, and he finally went, well, she's not even fucking noticing. I'm not even going to try anymore. Because God knows I am way guilty of that.
That is huge.
Yeah. There has to be an acknowledgement of change, even the most incremental change, especially when somebody, probably trauma-driven from his childhood, you know, of being in an emotionless family. It's weird. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't really have a huggy family. I wouldn't say that we were unhuggy, you know, but coming up, there was not an outpouring of affection upon one another. Hmm. And yet, you can get a hug anytime you wanted. You know, my dad's always been huggy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird. There's a distance between the members of my immediate family that I don't quite understand, that has a lot to do with how all of us sort of internalized and processed our parents' divorce and what mm-hmm. happened during that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had a very unhealthy relationship. It was, you know, dad was at work all the time. You know, mom had a bit of a temper problem.
Right.
Little bit.
Tiny one.
5'4". 5'2" now. Yeah. You know, and so things were weird. So you just do. You have to point at an effort and call it an effort. It helps make the effort sustain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everything came to a head this past week when the anniversary of my father's passing came around. Tom sent a supportive text in the morning, and I took the day off from classes and spent it with my family, which was much needed. When I got home, Tom acted like it was any other day, joking around with me. I didn't take this well, and honestly, it bothered me so much I slept on the couch that night. The following morning, he asked me why, and I told him it was because I was upset, and he didn't bring it up again. Again, and I'm really not trying to jump on you. Throw away. User ID. It's seriously, throw RA. I am terrible at dealing with certain things, you know, and sadness is the biggest one.
Hmm.
Things that make me sad are immediately laughed at,
mm-hmm.
joked about. That's my defense mechanism.
Yeah.
I don't think that your husband was making jokes to hurt your feelings. I think he was trying, lamely, more than likely, mm-hmm. to cheer you up. You know, that's just it. Without dealing with whatever it is he's going through and however he's processing these sort of things, you know, there's a pretty good chance he knows how sad you are. And he was just being a monkey.
It's hard.
Just a little dancing monkey trying to make you giggle.
It's hard to know how to comfort somebody when they are going through grief like that, too.
Well, you know what? I'm interrupting. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, communicating that, hey, this day is going to be really hard for me. It would be helpful if you did this.
Yeah.
But I'm glad she has a therapist.
Me too. It could also be, and this is the hard one for me, it could also be, hi, I know you're having a shit day. How can I comfort you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how would you like to be handled?
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a better way of saying that, but still.
Yeah.
You know, how would you? With kit gloves? You know, a little rough, little jokey, you know, can we smile and can I try and make you laugh? Or do you just want me to sit here quiet? Do you want mm-hmm. to talk about feelings? You know, anyone?
No.
Feelings, take me now. You emotionally unavailable son of a bitch. But yeah, I know you love him. I do. You guys are together. You've been together for 8 years. You've been married for 2. With that said, if his emotional unavailability is a thing that you have brought up, that you feel that you've done your due diligence and your half of it, because when it comes to relationships, change has to be a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be one person going, you fucking change or else, you know, because that just makes doom.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, But you can tell me that I do dumb shit, you know, and I'm willing to work on it. I just need a little help.
Yeah.
That's all. So I would. It's give him another chance, sure. But if it's breaking your heart, tell him. Maybe move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe couples therapy if he's not an asshole.
Yeah. That's true. That's a good idea.
Yeah. It could be, but
I never wanted to go to therapy when I was married.
No.
Kill me.
Yeah. Advice on changing my 33-year-old female viewpoints on my husband's 43-year-old male porn habit. It's got a twist.
Okay.
I am having a really hard time accepting the fact that my husband views porn. We've been together for 11 years. I am honestly struggling so much with this. I've accepted that he won't change. I don't want to change him. I want to be the one who changes. I don't feel he's addicted or anything. It's a handful of times a week. I want to accept it. How can I do this? Is there anyone else who struggled with it and changed their viewpoints or belief? My mindset is there are women who are cool with it, so it's possible to be cool with it. I want to be the couple sending each other porn clips to try. I want to change my beliefs. I just don't know how. Also, as a side note, one thing I offered is to give him a sex or a blowjob every day for the past 8 months, and it still didn't end him looking at pornography. That is because, and I will state this categorically out loud everywhere but work, masturbation and sex are two completely different things, and they, for the most part, fulfill completely different needs, you know, or even completely different wants.
Mm-hmm.
There are times where just rubbing one out is just what you don't need the complication. Right. You don't need the fucking conversation. You don't need the shower after, whatever. Every single thing that is. It's just like, I got to pop.
Yeah.
Bump, 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 pop. Okay. I feel better. Even keel. Moving on with my day.
Yep.
It's got nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with you. It really doesn't. I mean, and that's the most important thing. Now, on to the rest of your question. Do it together. It's one of the reasons why this letter ties in so well with the beginning of the show is if you do things together, you build on shared experiences, and shared experiences are how you build a better foundation for a relationship. You know, it's how you shore up the base. It's how you keep things growing. It's how you keep moving things along. Really? Find out if you really want to change, if this is a sincere letter, and I 50-50, you know, it's next time you guys are fooling around, open up the laptop, pop over to Pornhub, search videos together to see if there's something that triggers your interest, something that you might like to watch, which will be different than what he likes to watch, I guarantee it, and could very easily also turn him on because now he's getting a glimpse into some part of you that you've never shared before.
Yeah, and I would suggest, even before doing it together, but doing it together for sure, on your own, like figure out what you like, what kind of porn you like, what turns you on. Are you taking alone time? Because you should be too.
Yeah. It's good for you.
Yeah.
I don't care what Jesus says. As far as I can tell, Jesus never said anything about it.
It's very important.
Yeah. But it's like in the whole vastness of space and time, you really want me to believe that a celestial being is watching to see whether or not I flick my willy? Are you kidding me? Look, you're just doing something fun. That's all. It's fun. And if you both enjoy it, great. And if he watches really fucked up shit that you just cannot stand, that could be a conversation. That could also be a trigger for therapy.
Mm.
You know, could also be that deep down inside, he's a dirty, dirty boy.
I understand why some women have problems with porn. I've heard that. Well, I'm not even going to go into it. Never mind. Do we have another letter?
We have another letter.
We're going to talk about porn another time. We can get into it.
Yeah. As it were. I'm not actually very emotional, and my wife has never seen me cry in the 3 years we've known each other, but the last few weeks have been very hard for me. And I broke down crying in front of her the other day. I expected to be encouraged, her to be encouraging and understanding, but instead she was disgusted. We went to sleep, but somehow there's been a strange atmosphere between us ever since. When I asked my wife about it, she said she didn't expect a traditional Christian man to show such weakness. She said she can't unsee it, and now she sees me in a different light. She feels less attracted to me after seeing me cry. She wanted to make it clear to me that no woman wants to see her husband cry, even though women say men should be more emotional. That's just what they say. Women want strong men. She had no answer to the question of how I could fix the situation. How can I convince my wife of my masculinity and win her back? Well, you're going to have to beat up a bear.
Jesus.
I mean, that's all. Not a big bear. A black bear would be fine. You know, I'm not saying go after a Klondike or a grizzly or a polar bear.
It's terrible. This makes me feel sad.
Maybe a mountain lion? You could fight a mountain lion?
Something.
Yeah. Honestly, my straight up advice to you, get a divorce. Mm-hmm. You're done. You're absolutely, that is a poison fucking relationship. You're going to spend the rest of your married life together trying to be somebody that you're not. There's nothing wrong with crying, sport.
Nope.
There's nothing wrong with crying. And I tell you, I cry all the time and I could still fucking take you. I know it. Mm-hmm. But last couple of years have been pretty fucking rough.
Yeah.
And I have had one emotional breakdown after another. And knowing that you've got my back when I'm doing that has been huge for me because I've never really known that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knowing that I can just fucking break. And I did several times last year.
It was a rough year.
It was a rough year. This year's not been, it's been a little less rough, but it's still been pretty fucking awful.
Yeah.
You know? And that's new. Part of it was, I think, like, the first time I cried as an adult emotionally, you know, was when one of my kids was born.
Mm.
The second time I cried emotionally as an adult was when my second kid was born, mm-hmm. you know? And then nothing for a long time. I did have a headache that made me cry one day, and that was very weird. It was with my ex, and I just, every fucking wall I had built just crumbled to the ground, and I had a complete fucking meltdown because my head hurt.
Yeah.
And it hurt so bad that it was taking all of my defenses.
Take it.
And you know what? She handled it pretty well. She really did. She never, it's one thing, never got thrown back in my face, never got punished for anything like that. It was, you know, it worked out well. And then with just, you know, a couple of minor, a tear here, a tear there, or something in a movie that triggers me, like fucking Wrath of Khan, goddammit.
Star Trek.
Yep. He's already dead, man.
Spock, I think that was the first time I saw you cry.
It probably was
when we went to see Star Trek in the theater.
Yeah, it was. It was the first time my eldest daughter saw me cry. It was when we went and saw, and it wasn't even that. It was Into Darkness, and the scene in Into Darkness reminded me of the scene from Wrath of Khan, and I just started to squirt tears. And she's like, "This is the big emotional awakening for my dad, is to see him crying at a sci-fi movie."
Yeah.
And I'm like, they're best friends. And his friend is dying. He just saved everybody. Aww. The needs of the many. Come on, get on board with me here. This is emotional shit. But now I can sit down to a movie.
You did. You just cried in Fault in Our Stars.
If you don't cry at Fault in Our Stars, you're a fucking monster.
I am.
You
are
a monster. That.
Not make me cry at all.
I think if you'd read the book, you would have. Because, I mean, that's it. It's like, the movie's fine. I like the movie. It's fine. You know, I get a response from it. It gives me what I want from it. But the book, John Green's book, was just fucking devastating. You get to the end and it's just like.
Books are always the better than the movies.
Not always.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What movie is better than the book?
Oh, it's usually comic book shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Sometimes a comic book's better and sometimes it's not. You know, sometimes a movie's better and sometimes it's not. I think Starship Troopers was a better movie than it was a book. And you can sue me on that one. Just shit like that. Anyway, not very often, but it can happen.
Yeah.
But seriously, dude, you got to be able to feel, man. That shit turns into poison when you box it up too long.
Yeah, that's abuse.
It is abuse. And if she's disgusted by you and doesn't want to put out anymore, you guys aren't going to bang and be happy and love one another because you had a perfectly reasonable emotional response to stimulus, go find somebody that loves you.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is. You'll have a couple of sucky years. Try and stay off the apps, you know, but sorry, pal. I mean, that's my advice.
Yeah, you deserve better than that.
You do. You do. Feel your feel, buddy. That's it. Long show.
Was it?
For us, yeah, for this show. We usually go about 45 minutes, and we're more than an hour now.
Good.
Thank you guys for listening so much. I appreciate it. We're going to start, I think, next show doing Patreon content. But in the meantime, over at patreon.com/defendmedia, for those of you that are patrons of the shows here at the Defendistrict Media Network, two new drops this week from The Left Show and from the World's Greatest Comic Book Podcast are out there.
Yeah.
And we're going to be adding more and more as we go. My tests for video recording as we evolve the podcast are going to be posted on Patreon as I finish them. So we'll figure all that out as we go.
Are we going to be videoing this podcast?
We will, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'll have to
do my hair.
I'll have to take a shower or something. I'm still in my pajamas because it's morning.
I like your shirt.
Thanks. Oh, shirts. Yeah, go over to leftshow.com. We've got merch.
Yeah.
We got great merch. Click on the little Garb Thy Temple over there.
Perfect to wear for family functions.
Some of it, I'm told. Anyway, that's it for this week. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next week. And in the meantime, remember, consent is sexy.
Yes, it is.
It is. All right. I love you, babe.
Love you.